Okay, we've got a great show for you guys today. In the studio, we have Renata Hirich from 350 New Orleans and Angela Kinslaw from the People's Assembly here to talk about an amazing event they've helped organize tomorrow called Rise for Cancer Alley. This is part of a global day of action to demand real climate action commitment from our leaders ahead of the Global Climate Action Summit in San Francisco next week. Thanks so much for joining us, you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you. Glad to be here.
Great. Could you guys, first, for our listeners who may not be familiar with your organizations, could you tell us a little bit more about the work you do?
Yeah, I'm Renata. I'm with 350 New Orleans, and we are a volunteer-led group here in New Orleans. We are working since 2013, since 5 years, and our mission is to raise awareness about climate change and promote sound policy. Because climate change poses really unprecedented risks. Especially to our coastal area here. We are also working together in coalition with other groups like the Louisiana Bucket Brigade, the Low Elavi Camp, the Alliance for Affordable Energy, the Cayenne Coalition. We are not working solo here.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Hi, everyone. My name is Angela Kinlaw, and I am with the New Orleans People's Assembly. We're an organization that has existed for the last 2 years, and we've really come together as a coalition of organizers and working class folks across New Orleans who are really on a serious mission to not only unite for the work that will produce some material equity for folks, but for working class people to really be in control of the resources that are impacting their lives.
Cool, very cool. So how did you guys hear about the RISE global action, and how did you get involved?
Well, the RISE event is 350.org, the national and international organization, is one of the main organizers. So we were asked, we stepped up and participated. Actually, we are... there are events globally on every continent. There are hundreds of events in the U.S. alone. And as far as 350, they are lifting up our event here among one of five in the nation. So we expect some nice media exposure. But also, I think, because they see how we are, you know, in this area where we have the oil industry is so much in control, mm-hmm. including the legislature, but people are rising up. They've had enough. They want to see a change. And that's why we are mm-hmm. organizing this event. And we asked people in Gordon Plaza if we could start the event in New Orleans at their location, because they are having similar impacts that we see in St. James. We are doing a combined event that we start out in Gordon Plaza, and then we have buses going to St. James, mm-hmm. Louisiana. It's an hour up the road in Cancer Alley, and people who hop on the bus can see what it looks like there and how people are impacted.
We're so excited with the People's Assembly about really working together on this day, because when we started, we actually took a 6-month process to organize a People's Assembly Fight Back Manifesto. It's a 10-point plan of the things that we're working for. And one of the points in that 10-point plan is focused on Gordon Plaza. And the reason it's focused on Gordon Plaza is because as we're thinking about climate issues, as we're thinking about environmental justice, as we're thinking about just what's happening in terms of ecology around the world, we're really saying to ourselves, in order for people to come together and feel vested in work around the environment, they've got to be able to pinpoint the thing that most directly impacts their lives. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I say over and over again is wherever there's toxic soil, that's a threat to soil everywhere.
Absolutely.
Wherever there's toxic water, that's a threat to water everywhere. Mm-hmm. And wherever there's toxic air, that's a threat to air everywhere. And one of the things that I'm just really clear about is, you know, sometimes there's a distinction in people's minds about who cares about the environment and who doesn't. And so for the work we do in People's Assembly, our work is focused on really supporting, uplifting, and uniting working class people who often get accused of not caring about the environment, when in reality, a lot of these injustices and these climate concerns that don't get handled quickly, these environmental injustices are brought to the communities where the folks live. But because you can be so consumed on a daily basis with just surviving, it becomes hard. And so I'm so grateful that 350 and People's Assembly have come together to support this rally tomorrow before the bus ride up to St. James. Because if you're living in New Orleans and you care about environmental issues, you care about climate issues, you care about economic exploitation, you care about, I could go on and on, Gordon Plaza is an issue that embodies all of those things. And you don't have mm-hmm. to, you don't have to lift your head or look too far, because it's right here. And it's an issue that essentially since 1981 is one that anybody in Orleans Parish should care about, not only because of how it affects the residents there, but how this issue impacts Orleans Parish as a whole, because it really does.
And for our listeners who may not be familiar with the issue, could you tell us a little bit about Gordon Plaza and its history?
Yes, yes, yes. So basically, we are, if you can just imagine, going through four mayors. So right now, we're dealing with Mayor LaToya Cantrell, but if you go back, it'll take you back to Dutch Morial. And at the time that he was serving mayor, the city of New Orleans, also along with HUD, decided that they were going to allow developers to come in and build housing that they were going to target and advertise toward African-American residents in New Orleans. Black home ownership, affordable home ownership. So there was some low-income housing, and there were opportunities for people to actually purchase their own homes. And so that happened in 1981. Essentially 5-6 years later, the residents, it was brought to their attention after years of trying to figure out what's going on, watching trash emerge through the soil, watch it come up in their yards, people starting to get sick, not understanding what's happening. They realized that this thing that they were pursuing, this American dream, had turned into a nightmare for them. The EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, came in and actually deemed that land a Superfund site. And the reason is because they built those homes on a landfill. It was formerly known as agriculture landfill. And so there are over 150 toxicities in that area, many of them recognizable for cancer, being cancer causing. And we've seen so many of the residents unfortunately pass away as a result of living there. Now, here's the thing, and I'm going to give you the accelerated version of this. You can imagine, you know, the residents find out about this. They begin to organize themselves because they need relocation. They're doing so. It takes them all the way up to Katrina. The whole issue in the case gets stalled because of Katrina. In addition to fighting this case, they're dealing with all of the same issues, concerns, and problems that everybody else impacted by Katrina had to deal with, only for them to have to make a decision about what they're going to do, because now the whole conversation around rebuilding, coming back to New Orleans, residing in New Orleans, it takes on another level of complexity. There was a class action lawsuit that was actually filed. The residents actually won that class action lawsuit after coming back, recuperating from Katrina, pulling themselves back organizationally after Katrina. They won the class action lawsuit. However, there were only 9 plaintiffs that actually received enough money to relocate themselves. So if you can imagine, that entire area had approximately 5,000 residents in it. Warden Plaza had approximately 237 homeowners. 9 of them, I'm going to repeat that, 9 of them received enough money to relocate. And when we say enough money to relocate, we mean enough money to pay off the home that you've purchased and enough money to be able to actually go somewhere and fund the move. When someone gives you a check for $200 or $2,000, or maybe if you're lucky, $6,000, it's not enough money for you to go anywhere. And that's the kind of money that everybody else on the property received. So they're still in a situation where they need relocation. For the ones who were able to maneuver their way off of the property, or were given hush-hush money to get off of the property, or died and now their homes are empty, we're dealing with 54 households that still remain back there, and they are demanding relocation. They have filed a federal lawsuit. They did that in April of 2017. However, a lawsuit is a lawsuit. It still has not afforded them yet the opportunity to be relocated. So the decision is really in the hands of our current mayor. We realize that Mayor LaToya Cantrell did not cause this issue on her own, but the reality is every single time we're in a position of decision-making power where we can't impact the lives of people, and we either choose to be silent or we delay justice, that's problematic. So we're really pressing that this fourth mayor will not turn her back on the residents and will support the relocation. Mayor LaToya Cantrell can also say that she doesn't want to speak about the issue because of litigation, but we know that that's not the case. The attorneys talk to attorneys, but the residents of Gordon Plaza have been trying to meet with LaToya Cantrell for some time now. They've called, they've written her. Even during her campaign trail when she was running for mayor, she was asked the question about Gordon Plaza and whether she would support their relocation. She said yes. She made it very clear in her own words that she wanted to support all of the residents of Orleans Parish living in a safe and healthy environment. And so we're calling on her to fulfill that promise now that she has received enough votes to serve as mayor. The one more thing I just want to say right now about this case is that this lawsuit can go away today. If LaToya Cantrell decides that she wants to support this on her own, make a choice, an intentional choice, to help relocate these residents, because we've seen, you know, our mayors before make choices, even when they've said, we don't have enough money in the budget. Last year, 2017, the budget was $615 million, and when Mitchell Andrew did not have enough money in the budget to find the $40 million that he wanted and needed to install these surveillance cameras all over the city, that got accomplished. And that amount of money could have relocated the residents twice. We know that Mayor Cantrell can make this happen, and we're counting on her to do so, because she came out of the gates very proud of herself as being a grassroots organizer for the people. And so this is the opportunity now with this sphere of influence to be about the people and really support the residents of Gordon Plaza. And we believe that she'll do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that you've really illustrated something that really ties everything to this global action, which is that our leaders say that they care and they want to see change, but are they actually going to follow through?
Yeah. And that's a good point, because, you know, I believe that LaToya Cantrell can do the right thing. But what we also know is that nothing is going to happen without the demand of the people. Nothing is going to happen when we realize that something's wrong and we decide to suffer in silence. If we do not demand our rights, we're not talking about the residents of Gordon Plaza begging for anything. We're not talking about the residents in St. James and all throughout Cancer Alley begging for anything. This is their right. It is their right to experience life on clean soil, to breathe clean air. It is their right to consume clean water. And so whether or not we feel like we're most directly impacted or not, I'm telling you now, we have to get involved, because trust and believe, if you were to go out right now and decide you want to, you know, establish an organic garden in your front or backyard, you should have that soil tested. Mm-hmm. And you might be surprised what you find in the soil.
Yeah, I can, you know, only reiterate that people in St. James have told us how in the past they were able to grow their own food. They cannot do that anymore because the soil is too contaminated. And trees that have been, that were bearing fruit started to die. They have told us how life, wildlife has diminished. In St. James particularly, you know, all along Cancer Alley, those are low-income communities, mm-hmm. where that bear the brunt of the burden of oil, of our addiction to oil. Mm-hmm. St. James, for example, has 118 huge storage tanks. I mean, I talk about a tank the size of a building each, and a large building. And they constantly emit fumes. They couldn't be completely sealed. They would explode. Mm-hmm. And you don't see it with your naked eye, but you can see it on infrared cameras, how they're constantly emitting fumes. And they are toxic. 118 of those in the middle of your community. They have pipelines crisscrossing because pipelines cross the street to reach ships in the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of those. They just recently sold their high school to a Chinese plant company that is going to produce methanol and mainly for export back to China. It sounds like China doesn't want to have that dirt in their mm-hmm. own country, but you know, we can. Yeah, our residents here, they have to bear that burden. water. I mean, if those tanks are leaking, and you know, you go there. Sometimes you really smell it in the air. We've been there. Come back with headaches. People are dying of cancer in, mm-hmm. in really large numbers. Mm-hmm. One of our friends who is organizing with us, who is from Donaldsonville, his brother just passed away. Mm-hmm. And a few days later, he heard that his teacher has died from cancer. And his brother passed from cancer, too. Mm-hmm. they have respiratory illnesses. We go there, we campaign, and a woman tells us, well, I don't know if I can be there on Saturday because my brother is dying right now of cancer and it's his last days. I may have to go over there. It's not an accident that all these this industry is located in poor communities. Mm-hmm. And those are, you know, one of the towns is called Freetown, where freed slaves mm-hmm. established a community. And it's close-knit. You know, many of the residents don't even want to move away because they've been there so long. Others are ready to go, but there is no buyout. We were canvassing one day, and a woman told us that she was offered $10,000 for her house. It was a 3-bedroom brick house. That's a slap in the face.
Yeah. Disrespectful.
Yeah. Also, people who are organizing, they have told us that initially, people who were white, they were offered a buyout and they have left in the meantime. So right now, St. James in particular is dealing also with a large Formosa chemical plant that they want to build. It's a project that will be $9.4 billion. Mm-hmm. The Louisiana Department here for Commerce, they really want this stuff to come here, but the residents do not want it because they don't want any kind of jobs that make them sick, and they don't get the jobs anyway. Mm-hmm. So there is a hearing on that on Wednesday the 19th in St. James, where residents have a chance to come out and speak to the council because the city council has to decide on that.
Okay.
St. James is also the endpoint of the BioBridge pipeline,
right.
A huge pipeline that is slated to bring more toxic substances to their communities, spur more growth for these facilities that make them sick. We also will have residents from St. John across the river who are coming, who are dealing with a Denka plant, formerly DuPont, that has been there since 50 years. Mm-hmm. They're producing neoprene, you know, the stuff that your wetsuits are made from, your yoga mats, mm-hmm. your computer covers, mm-hmm. I mean, like laptop covers, and your koozies. Who needs koozies? Anyway, it's this neoprene is byproduct is chloroprene, which has been emitted in large amounts. It's a known carcinogen. These people have been fighting this for decades now. At least it's being monitored, and there have been some scrubbers installed, but still there are spikes that are way above the limit. They have an elementary school nearby. And the health department in Louisiana just recently decided, no, those kids are not at any increased risk to develop cancer. I mean, it's the head of DEQ, Chuck Brown, who worked for Exxon for 20 years, and now he's head of the Department for Environmental Quality.
Yeah,
he called them literally fear mongers. That's the agency that's supposed to protect these people.
Mm-hmm.
They're protecting the industry, nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's really that's what we've up against here too. That we have agencies that are not doing the job they should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
this state, I feel like a lot of our conversations about climate change in the state revolve around coastal restoration, which is great, and we need to restore the coast, but it's funny to think that we're also still approving and funding new fossil fuel projects like the Bayou Bridge
mm-hmm.
pipeline,
mm-hmm.
while at the same time trying to scramble for money to pay for the coastal master plan, which is $50 billion.
Mm-hmm.
But also when we talk about this stuff, I feel like not enough of the time are we considering the legacy of racial and economic segregation
mm-hmm.
and injustice in the state and how that threads through this entire conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think one of the things that becomes really important, because like if you just think about what we've talked about in the last 10 minutes and you like listed all these things out, the average person listening to all this thing would just become totally overwhelmed because it's like so much. Where do you start? What do you do? How do you bring an end to this? When it seems like you've addressed one issue, you look up and another one's popping. It's really important for us just to step back for 1 second and realize that this is why it becomes so important for us to come together, to unite around these issues, knowing that they're not these random separate issues. They're anchored in a system
yes.
mm-hmm.
of exploitation. So yep. I'm not going to get into a whole long, drawn-out speech about capitalism today,
mm-hmm.
but we do need to point it out because the reality is as long as you're dealing with people who are consumed in capitalistic greed, they are not concerned about Black lives. They're not concerned about anybody's lives. And I put that out there because if anybody thinks that the system cares about poor white people,
mm-hmm.
they would be fooling themselves. Also, if you're talking about everyday working class people who get up and provide their labor so someone else can accumulate wealth, they don't care about that. And they don't care about the ways in which they destroy the earth. They don't care about the way in which our air gets tampered with, our water and our soil gets tampered with, because they want to do what's necessary to protect themselves, their property, and access to what they have. And they're not concerned about how the rest of us can just kind of be out here fighting each other for crumbs or trying to find out, you know, preservation around water. The water, the air, and the earth is abundant. But it becomes our responsibility to make sure we're doing everything we can to protect it. And that starts with stepping outside of our own living spaces, looking around, and being cognizant of how we're being impacted on a daily basis. In addition to the fact that, you know, we really have to come together and unite around these issues, because when the voices of the people come together and there's unity, the power in the people is the only thing that has been responsible historically over time for any progress. None of these legislators just wake up and decide because they feel good today to change these policies when they know that they're up against these capitalistic, greedy folk who are controlling things through a phone call, you know, a stroke of the pen. They write a check to someone, they silence people. It is important that we remember we are powerful, we outnumber them, and it's important for us to know that we want to consume, you know, clean water, we want to live on healthy air, we need this air to be clean to breathe.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you that it's really a problem of the whole system, mm-hmm. because this paradigm of constant growth, getting bigger all the time, mm-hmm. consuming more all the time, when we are consuming way more than on this limited earth that mm-hmm. then is possible. That has brought us where we are today, where really we are in the middle of the sixth mass extinction. Mm-hmm. We are, scientists have told us about climate change since 40, 50 years, have warned us, and we have just gone ahead. Mm-hmm. We kept going, refusing to make any changes. Actually, we've doubled down, and now we are at the point where we really need to do drastic changes in order to avoid catastrophic climate change,
yeah. mm-hmm.
In order to avoid tipping points where it's going to just be runaway climate change, where no matter what we do, mm-hmm. It's going to keep going. Mm-hmm. And, it's insane. And we know what we're doing, and we keep on going, and that is part of the system that just wants to have more and more, and exploiting nature mm-hmm. and exploiting mm-hmm. people. It's a system based on extraction. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know that 80% of the known fossil fuel reserves have to stay in the ground, cannot be burned, mm-hmm. if we want to have a chance at a livable climate. Mm-hmm. And oil companies are looking for more. I mean, they cannot burn what they have. They, you know, of course, you know, we're sitting on a carbon bubble that's going to burst one day. But there's people really need to unite, and there have to be deep changes coming.
Yeah. So,
and we have solutions. I mean, the thing is, we know we need 100% clean electricity generated, and we can do it.
Yes.
I mean, there are other countries. Portugal is so much further ahead. Yeah. Europe is further ahead. It can be done. We have abundant solar, abundant wind. We could have so much more efficient buildings here.
Mm-hmm.
We could have so much better public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
All that would create jobs mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. are not just decent, well-paying jobs. It would also do actually something good and mm-hmm. not kill the people who are working in it, because mm-hmm. those petrochemical jobs are dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have the solutions. Also, you know, we have products that could be safe, like this mm-hmm. this neoprene I was talking about. There is a small company named Ulex. It's a product named Ulex that Patagonia is using. That's mm-hmm. produced by a natural a base product. And so it can be done. We don't have to produce plastics in these huge numbers and to throw them away later. And then we have landfills, or we're dealing with huge amounts of plastic in our ocean, where we say now that by 2050, it looks like we're going to have as much plastic by weight in our ocean as we have fish in there. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just absolute mm-hmm. insanity what mm-hmm. we're doing here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that really exhibits the stronghold that the oil and gas and petrochemical industries have on our government and our decision-making process.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so this event, this global day of action, is a chance to demand that our leaders commit to no new fossil fuel projects, because
mm-hmm.
There's overwhelming evidence that we can do this, we can live our lives without mm-hmm. dependency on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But also to remediate environmental injustice mm-hmm. and prevent it.
Yes.
And do this all by providing green jobs for
yes.
people
yes.
that pay living wages.
Yeah. You know, another example of how our political establishment is absolutely on the other side is the recent law HB 727 that they passed here in Louisiana, which is a response to the massive protests against the BioBridge pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
So they added pipelines to critical infrastructure projects and imposed felony charges. And actually, the law went in effect August 1st. And we have already had 10 arrests of people charged with felony charges who, you know, in the first case, they were canoeing on a public waterway, were dragged out of their canoes by security hired by Energy Transfer Partners, the company that builds the BioBridge pipeline,
mm-hmm.
and then dragged, handcuffed, dragged onto the easement. Then the police was called and said, okay, they are on the easement, and they were slapped with felony charges. In the other case, there are landowners who have not given permission for BioBridge to construct on their land. Well, guess what? They're just going ahead and constructing anyway. It's a huge swath of land that they're taking out. These landowners asked people to help them protect their land,
mm-hmm.
and people came out. They were arrested on that land, charged
mm-hmm.
with felony charges because they were on land. They were invited onto private land. BioBridge, the energy transfer partner, is constructing illegally. There is a process,
mm-hmm.
not until November. That's when a court date is set to settle that and maybe do eminent domain. But they're constructing anyway, so that is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And our law enforcement, I mean, they're just flipping
it
mm-hmm. totally around. And so we have 10 people who are dealing with felony charges already. And this is our Louisiana legislature that enacted one of those laws that are also in other, that have been popping up in other states. Written by ALEC, the
mm-hmm.
American Legislative Exchange Council, with, you know, that's dominated by the oil industry and other large companies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, can I say something about the event?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us all about the event.
Yeah.
What can we expect?
So, call to action for everyone who is out there and you're listening and you're feeling either overwhelmed or fired up, you can get involved. And one of the ways that you can get involved is by having the opportunity to see firsthand the places that we're talking about. You can start tomorrow, which is September 8th, Saturday, September 8th at 10 a.m. Join us in Gordon Plaza. You can use the address 3301 Press Street. Again, 3301 Press Street. Join us for a rally in Gordon Plaza. So you'll have the opportunity to hear from the residents firsthand. The mayor, Mayor Cantrell, you know you're more than welcome to attend the rally. We've sent formal invitations to all of the council people who represent all of the districts across Orleans Parish. All community members, we want you to come out and see this firsthand. Don't think that this is a situation that's just about Gordon Plaza, because I promise you, the residents of Gordon Plaza not only care about this issue so much for their relocation, they actually, this past year, organized for a change in policy to revise the city master plan to ultimately try to prevent, and I say try because you can have a policy on paper and people completely ignore it, and we've
mm-hmm.
seen that before. They've organized to have actual policy on paper to prevent developers from coming in and building on toxic soil like this again. And so it's very, very important that we participate and support them, because they advocated and organized for that policy, even though that particular policy has no impact on their relocation. And that's the only demand they have.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to come back again and organize for some actual policy to revise the master plan to actually include support for their relocation. So there's really no excuse for the residents of Gordon Plaza to be relocated and have an opportunity to start a life anew. We know that this relocation is not going to ever bring them justice for the decades of trauma and tragedy and illness and loss of life that they've experienced. But it is an opportunity for course correction. It's an opportunity to try to undo what's already been done. And in the name of Sankofa, sometimes you got to go back and you got to revisit and you got to do things over again. And you've got to try, you've got to strive for something different. We're excited to have this rally in Gordon Plaza because we want people to come out. And for those of you who are willing and able to take a trip up to St. James, you can participate. First come, first serve. Jump on one of these buses and make this connection between what's happening not only in Gordon Plaza, but so many other places, and take this ride up to St. James.
Yes, we have 3 school buses, air conditioned, that will leave at 11:30 from Gordon Plaza. We will have some food from Brother T that we will serve for people who are riding the bus. And we have also water, but bring your own water bottle if you can, because we would rather have bulk, water in bulk. Then we will, it's about an hour and 15 minutes to ride out to St. James. We're going to go to Welcome Park in St. James, where we will meet people from St. James, St. John, St. Rose. Then we will actually hop back on the bus to go to an area in St. James that's called Burton Lane. It's an area that used to be an evacuation route for people in case of an accident. And now it is wedged in between these storage tanks and a railway tracks. And we're going to walk down Burton Lane to the place where it has been cut off by a company that purchased land, and have a ceremony, a prayer that was requested by people. It's organized by people in St. James. And then we will return to Welcome Park, and we will hear stories from people who are affected. When you ride out, you also will see with your own eyes how the area is looking, how it is affected. We plan to return around 3:00, so around 4:00 we will be back in Gordon Plaza. Oh, and when you come out to St. James, there will be jambalaya. We have plenty of food.
Cool. Before you guys go, I wanted to play a little clip of Cherie Foytlin getting arrested on Tuesday at the Bayou Bridge Pipeline protest.
Absolutely brutal.
Oh, yeah.
She is not resisting. Stop running her.
That was Cherie Foytlin from the Indigenous Environmental Network. And she is a badass. And the people out there, they're fighting for their lives and they're fighting for their water. And they're fighting for our community and our environment. And they need your help. They need our support.
Yeah, if you want to support, you go to nobbp.org. If you want to go to camp, you need to email resist@nobbp.org, nobbp.org, no BioBridge.
You can also donate to a bail fund, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, the people have been bailed out, but bail was set at $63,500 for four people. So initially they didn't even want to offer bail and keep them in jail. I know that people are dealing with injuries now. Those four people who were arrested, they're dealing with various injuries that they sustained during the arrest. I mean, it's brutal. They were mazed, or pepper sprayed. They were pepper sprayed. And I know that one woman who was in a tree sit that was earlier who came down, she came down and they tasered her. Mm-hmm. She is, I mean, you know, small, you know. She's, you know, I mean, there is no need mm-hmm. to brutalize people like that. Mm-hmm. But, these are really acting as henchmen for the oil companies right now.
Yes.
It's really an example of the great lengths that they will go to prove to anyone who's thinking about engaging in this kind of work. There's consequences for that, right? They want to make you feel like there's consequences, which is why when people are protesting or people are organizing, it's important for as many of us as possible to support this effort, because the reality is there's not just four people who are concerned about this. There were four people arrested that day, but they represent so many people who care about this issue. And so it's really important that we stand together, we support in whichever ways we can, because all of this air, we share it. All of this land, we share it. And all of this water, we share. We're breathing the same air, and it's important. I also think about how important it is for us to support, you know, our indigenous communities. When you think about all these conversations even now about gentrification and who's impacted, you know, this is all anchored in something much bigger. So colonization is where all this comes from also. And so when we think about our indigenous communities and our Native brothers and sisters, we have to stand, because when they are fighting and sacrificing their lives, this is something that they believe in, not only for themselves, but for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the BioBridge pipeline, it's a huge project. Right now, the fight is in the Atchafalaya Basin, and that basin is so important for us to be able to deal with these huge rain events that we've experienced. And that's a signature of climate change, that with the warmer temperature, you have more moisture in the air, and then you have heavier rains. And the BioBridge pipeline is acting like a dam across the Atchafalaya Basin, so the water cannot flow away it should. And
These
oil companies are they are just looking for their profit. It's for export, it's not even for us.
Right.
We have to really prevent all these fossil fuel projects.
Yeah.
It is insane to pour money into stuff like that and destroy more when we need to put all our resources into resources that make us, that use sustainable sources of mm-hmm. energy, and we have them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's time to stand up, to rise for climate change, jobs, and justice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And because this affects all of us, and so we all need to take part. That was awesome, you guys. We have to close it up. Next up is Democracy Now! Angela Kinlaw from the New Orleans People's Assembly, Renata Hurich from 350 New Orleans, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good luck tomorrow.